Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
Wow.
What an episode. I mean, that was insane. That was one of the best episodes of the entire franchise, I feel like. I genuinely loved every single second of that. Forgive my setup. It is a little wonky. Let me see if I move my screen down a little bit here. Everything's a little wonky today because we have company over, and so my like whole office is just jacked up. But anywho, amazing episode. Loved every freaking second of it. I easily would say that it was one of the best episodes in the entire franchise. I have so many notes. Jimmy is out, as I said, for today. He will be back later in the week. I might be joined by Sir Ryan. He is working on, he was going to join, and then he was having a few technical difficulties. So if he pops back in, then he will join us. But man, so many notes, so many expansions upon things, and I loved it. That's a 5 out of 5 star episode for me. 10 out of 10 easily. It stands up there with the best episodes of Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. I would say that's easily the best episode of House of the Dragon. Easily the best episode. I mean, it's right up there with like Rhaenyra taking King's Landing. Obviously, the Jaehaerys the Viserys walk in season 1, Meleys death in season 2, and this definitely had me thinking about like just one of my main thoughts as I finished this simply was the difference between this season finale and last season's finale, and that you could tell they knew 1000% going into this episode that this was the season finale. Like 1000% they knew that. Now, I mean, obviously once you get the production rolling and everything, they knew that last season's finale was, or season 2's finale was also going to be the finale. But I mean, we all felt like it didn't feel like it as much as this did. So I thought this was damn near, I mean, perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. So we'll be going through here again. This is all total spoiler territory, and I don't know how deep of spoilers we will go, but a lot of this stuff, you know, I have the books pulled up here. We'll see how much of it ends up being different, how much of it ends up being the same. And man, we will just, just get going here. Okay. And again, if Ryan joins us, then we will have him on too. We can talk with him. So just some of the notes I have, and the one I need to go back is the Alice Rivers, because I didn't catch all of that. It just kind of happened so fast and I wasn't able to write it down. And I pulled up some tweet of Westerosi's who was talking about it. So I said, you know, that opening scene one of those early scenes of Rhaenyra and Helaena. My God, man. I was like, Rhaenyra's flipped. I mean, she has completely flipped the switch. She has gone full Mad Queen. And I just, one of the notes I took, just, this is going to make the Helaena stuff so much more insane. Like talking about at the end, and just seeing, want to see how the common folk react to it. It's going to add way more unrest over Rhaenyra's rule. This is way better than in the books, where in the books, I can get it pulled up here. Of course, in like World of Ice and Fire, it's really much more of an outline as opposed to here. But I mean, in the books, it still feels like it just kind of happens, right? It's just like, you know, the word spreads of Helaena's death, and we don't have any of the more details to it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of it, right? Let me see. I have it pulled up here. It's just so I thought I had it saved exactly where they talk about Helaena's death. But I mean, I think, you know, next season 2, episode 1, or season 4, episode 1 is definitely going to be the big culmination of all of these things. Let's see. Rhaenyra's makeup was something else. I agree. Just trying to explain how my girlfriend, how much better this was. Not sure how I feel about this episode. Like, the pacing was all over the place. It didn't feel like a finale. Loved the Aegon and Aemon scene. I loved it too. Yeah, the only scene I need to go back, and I'm because I didn't catch all of it, but the Alice River stuff was freaking sick. Like, was she, I mean, obviously it seems like she's saying that she's been alive for a very long time. I think she was saying she was even like there, but like before Harren the Black, but she was like wife to Harren the Black. Was I, did I catch that right? But I mean, clearly whether she's glamoring or doing some kind of other magic, she is clearly, and of course she could just be lying about the entire thing, but it seems like she is at least saying to some degree, like, no, I have been around for a very, very long time and I've been lonely. And it just makes you wonder about all the other rulers of Harrenhal. Let's see some other things here. I actually we'll have to see how the Helaena stuff plays out more, whether like Rhaenyra gets actually blamed for it. I mean, as like I thought going into this season it would be something to where like Helaena, maybe like Rhaenyra and Helaena were like fighting or something, and then like people see it, like people like assume, and but Rhaenyra was there by the windowsill, but I thought it would be something like that. Like Helena's death would be like almost mistaken for Rhaenyra's, because like, you know, in Game of Thrones season one, at the very end, like I think it's the last episode of the season, when Joffrey is showing Sansa Ned Stark's head on a spike, right? Like I thought it would be that type of a situation to show like Helena's death. Still an excellent way to do it, with her basically realizing this isn't, I'm a prisoner here, I'm never going to get out. And then obviously Missaria is there as well. Let's see, thoughts on her crying at Aegon being alive. Felt odd, would have preferred her to be pissed. I kind of felt like with Aegon dead, there was actually much more of a chance that she would be allowed to leave, because like even if she lost her baby, then, and Aegon's dead, then there's nothing holding her there, because she's further in the line, she's further down the line in succession. I kind of took that as her realizing like, oh, now they really have to kill me, because if Aegon's alive and I have a baby, like then everyone's going to assume that's the actual, like, you know, heir down the line. She was saying she was older and Aemon was way into it. Yeah. Okay. Some other notes here. Again, we might be joined by Sir Ryan. He was working on his computer here. So let's see here. We got a knighting scene. We got, oh, Rhaenyra's reaction. Rhaenyra's reaction to, oh, Aegon. Like she was like, oh yes, she was like, yeah, she was freaking out at the beginning. She was like way more sad. And then I think, yeah, I think that's right when the switch flipped. And she was just like, okay, now it's time to like go to war. She has that great conversation with Daemon in High Valyrian. Oh, man, this episode, this episode was so good start to finish. Okay. It's just some other notes I have here. We got a knighting scene with Darren, and he didn't charge him in the name of the warrior. I mean, you know, he still goes through it. We get to Ulf being pissed, and then Ulf does turn in the books. In the books, they don't really provide a reason as to Ulf's. It just kind of happens. So I've said that I thought they're definitely building that up to be much better. I don't know that his, without going too deep, I don't know that his story is going to go the same way. I'm excited to see how they do it. Hugh's story, again, fantastic, the way they've expanded upon it. I actually thought we would get more Hugh in this episode. I actually really thought we would get much more Hugh the Hammer in this episode than we did get. During the knighting scene, I thought about the knighting scene in the last episode of Nine Seven Kingdoms, and I was like, you're missing so, yeah, you know, like charging the name of the warrior to be brave, the name of the mother. They just didn't go into all of that. But it could also be maybe like that's the High Towers, like, I know, we do our own thing. Let's see here. Missaria gets fired, and Missaria's like trying to flee. And that was kind of weird. It's like, it's almost like Rhaenyra is like, okay, you can like go live in Pentos and that's totally fine. And then she decides to leave because she feels nervous about it. And maybe like she was meant to be like killed along the way. I definitely think that they are going to expand Masaria. I think it's pretty clear now that she is going to be having much more to do in season four, episode one. I'll say there's a character that we haven't gotten to yet that's like briefly mentioned, but this has a big role, and it's actually this very mysterious character in the book. Like, nobody has an idea who it is, and we've been speculating for a long time as to who that character is going to be, and Masaria has been one of the potential suitors for that character, and I feel very confident that Masaria is that character. I feel like they skipped the Nighting Wards on purpose. I felt like they skipped a Nighting... Yeah. Yeah, I think you just type that in there. I think so too. I think it was just they didn't need to go into the whole thing. Yeah, the Alice River stuff is sick. I was like, she is either lying or actually a dark magic practicer. In the books, like, she's way more into magic and who knows what's going on. I mean, actually, they've expanded it in both. And they've expanded it here, but then also there's some stuff that happens with her. And in fact, her ending, I've said this for a long time, in the books is not even, it's so wide open. Like, George hasn't even finished that story. So, like, we have no idea. And even what's written is one of those, like, well, these people say this and these people say this. So she could, you know, she could live, she could die, and we'd have, I mean, we don't know if it's going to tie, if it's going to connect to the books, because it has not finished. So we don't know. Continuing on here, like I said earlier, you can definitely tell this was right after about this, and I was like, you can definitely tell that this felt planned from the get-go to be a season finale. Like, you can tell from the get-go, they knew without question this was the season finale, and they hit all the marks. And then we get to freaking Tumbleton, and my God, like, the shots, the cinematography, obviously a lot of it's like, you know, CGI and computers and stuff like that, because I didn't have that many people there. But I mean, it felt like, oh man, this is leading into a huge battle. Definitely gave me like Lord of the Rings, you know, like Riders of Rohan vibes, especially like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, or when the boom, orc gets picked off, and then, you know, then they end up marching, or maybe is it Twin Tower? I don't know. Maybe it's both. I can't remember. But, you know, I mean, that's from Lord of the Rings, and they did the kind of the same thing here with all the northern men. It was freaking great. Corlys gets essentially traded as a prisoner, and Daemon does not like the things that he's saying. Now, in the books, there's a big switch. Corlys is never with Team Green, whatever. He is with Rhaenyra the entire time, and he gets imprisoned by Rhaenyra. So maybe that's the way they're going to do this. Like, maybe they're still going to treat him like a prisoner. Like, maybe like he goes back and then Rhaenyra imprisons him, because she's gone off the deep end and she's not trusting Bela, and she's clearly about to lose her mind about Ulf and all the betrayals that's going on. So maybe they go that route. Gwaen Hightower survived. Again, he's been long dead in the books, so he's a total wild card. We have no idea what's going to happen with him. And Darren, that's different, right? We didn't see him anywhere. So I think Darren's arc is going to be totally different. He may survive. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens to them. Ormond Hightower, dead. Done. So he does die in the books. I thought it was a much better, it was just, you know, just more expanded. Just more expanded. The fight with Daemon, oh my God, that was epic. And then, of course, coming down and potentially setting up another fight. That was freaking sweet. I love the episode too. Wow. I love the ambiguity of the books, and this is really interesting real version, if this makes sense. I think the gods hated that guy. Yeah, I also liked, you know, like the idea of like him, they're searching for Ulf. So it's almost like he's had this whole plan and it just backfires on him completely. dead as Ned, you might say. Jiminy Christmas. Let's, wow. Okay, then we got to the Aegon and Aemon. I'm alive. That was great. God, Aegon, you know, in the, like, this is another thing. In the books, Aegon, well, he's very different. Just in that he's, like, all the pictures of him make him seem like this big, huge, strong, muscular guy. Whereas there is one season remaining. Yes, next season is the fun. So there are eight, I believe, and they've already said it's eight episodes. There's eight total episodes left. And so I've talked about the pacing and how they've really been moving just a bunch of stuff around this season, whereas they didn't do it so much in, like, especially season one, because season one was the, like, all the time jumps. And then season two, I felt like they took really long to get to the Dragon Riders. Like, that, just, I felt like that just took, like, a long, I was like, man, they are really spacing stuff out. Now that Tumbleton is at least, like, over, that was the next point. Now, some stuff has, like, at the, like with Tumbleton, like, some of the stuff that happens after Tumbleton has already, oh, sorry, has already happened in the show. Some stuff leading into Tumbleton has not happened yet. So they're going to be moving a lot of stuff around, and there's some stuff that happens, like, immediately following this that I don't think there's no way it's going to be like episode one and two. It's going to be, that stuff's definitely, some of the other big battles are definitely getting moved back, because there's a lot more, there's just a lot more they have to do. And then of course all of the Alicent stuff is completely different, just because she is so expanded since they've made this whole thing about Alicent and Rhaenyra, and we just kind of see her walking at the end. So we have to see what ultimately happens with Alicent. I actually didn't even think we'd see Alicent in this episode, and then we did. But yes, him, like, bending the knee, and they're saying, here's what we're gonna go do. You get the Alice River stuff. It's great. All of the Aegon expansion stuff is freaking fantastic. Now, back to Tumbleton. This battle was epic. This battle was sick. I think it stands right there with Battle of the Blackwater, Battle of the Bastards, Battle at the Wall. I mean, even though it's season eight, I know a lot of people, look, we don't like season eight because it wasn't great, but the battle at Winterfell, I think everyone can agree, as far as, like, a TV spectacle, was amazing. But I believe it truly, that battle stands right there with the next one. And the Hightowers using children to say, okay, well, try it. Like, even Daemon doesn't want to do it. Oh my God. And then the parlay for Corlys again. You know, we answer to higher gods than him was a line. And then we get to Rhaenyra going into the Septons. Oh, Rhaenyra is the one who said that. We answer to higher gods than them. That's right. Going into the Septon, this is how it's going to be. And then we get to essentially a scene that the first thing that popped in my mind, as she's standing there proclaiming that she's the queen and telling everyone the doom of Valyria and the Song of Ice and Fire, I feel like no one's even going to believe her. She seems desperate, I feel like, even to those people. But it just reminded me of Tywin Lannister. Like, any man who must claim he is the king is no true king. And that's what it felt like Rhaenyra was doing. And Emma D'Arcy absolutely crushed it. Like, you could actually feel the nervousness in the voice, right? In Rhaenyra's voice, you can feel that nervousness. Like there's a, you know, raw, there's a lump in the throat trying to get it all out. Let's see. Based on all the moving parts and setups, the upcoming scenes can go so many ways. By the way, screw all Ulf. Agreed. Butterflies flying away with Helena. Yeah, there was butterflies. She lost her legitimacy speaking about the prophecy. Yeah, I felt like people were probably like, this dude, Rhaenyra's crazy. I feel like the townspeople were probably like, she is crazy. So that will play a part, I believe, in all of the stuff that's coming. Season 4, episode 1. And that's going to be one of the hardest episodes to watch. Here we go. Masaria, yes. Okay, then we get back to Tumbleton. Okay, like I said, oh my God, the children on the freaking front line, they're like wetting themselves and throwing up. Like, I was just like, then I have a line that's like, F the Hightowers. F them. you know, that they would even, that they would do that. Definitely Lord of the Rings Mac. No one can find Ulf. Then they find him drunk. And then anytime you get these big battles, I just feel so bad for the horses. I know it's like the smallest thing, but it's like, man, these horses don't deserve this. We still have Ulf turning. I didn't know if we were going to get that. And then at the end, Daemon realizes, man, this stuff ain't working. I think that's going to be a big part going into this, because there's still a lot of, and remember, next season is the last season, and everyone kind of ends up going in their own direction. Like this will, like episode one and two will probably be the last time we see a lot of these people all together, because everybody basically goes on their, like everyone still has their arcs to finish and stuff, and people are going to come back, but everyone kind of begins to go in their own direction, and that's ultimately where everyone's story ends, is in a way, like by the, like, you know, there's, you know, so obviously conflicts, people fight and stuff like that, but it's not like big battles. It's all small and individual storylines that connect to each other. So I still feel like we're going to have to see Alicent come back, and Rhaenyra and her have to have at least one big final conversation, which who knows where that's going to go. That's what they've been building this whole thing up to be. So we're going to have to see what that plays into. I think Daemon may tell Corlys about Laenor Velaryon. I feel like they did that for a reason, and I feel like he may tell him, and that may flip a switch in Corlys. So we'll have to see where that ultimately goes, but I feel like Daemon is gonna tell him. I just feel like because remember, Daemon and Corlys, they were at war with each other. I mean, they were not at war with each other, but they fought together, you know, all the way back in season one. They fought the Triarchy for years, essentially, together. So, I mean, they've been around each other for a long, long time. So I feel like they're going to have maybe like a final, like a conversation. Alicent, Rhaenyra, for sure. Daemon, Rhaenyra. Daemon's gonna have to go back and tell her, and I feel like they're setting it up. Like, what's interesting is in the books, one of the things that happens, of course, this is the big difference, is Nettles, the character of Nettles, with now here they replaced it with Rhaena, and that is sort of like another reason that they kind of played it here a little bit, but it's sort of why Missaria ultimately like gets the boot, because Missaria, and there's other town folks and stuff saying, is they say that Nettles, there's like rumors that Nettles and Daemon are like romantically involved. Remember, this is a character who's probably not his illegitimate daughter, or here his actual daughter, and that's one of the things that Missaria helps sow that seed, and that leads to a falling out between the two. Well, here, they, by changing all of this stuff, they have it with Rhaena. It feels like they're not going to do that the same way. Because it felt like they kind of did it, and then she already forgave her. So that is different. And I don't know where how that's going to go. If it comes back, and maybe Rhaenyra is just more paranoid, and then they decide to still go that route, I don't know. That's I'm very interested to see what like the next conversation between Daemon and Rhaenyra looks like, just because of the differences, obviously, in this show and the books. Some other characters, we'll just have to see some differences. I would say that Adam of Hall, I always get the two mixed up, Adam of Hall and Alan of Hall, we'll have to have a little bit more of them early on and see where it goes, because they have already, like, they've teased the Bela and I was blank on which one of Hall relationship. And like, we got a little bit of it, and it was actually one of the things Jimmy and I said, we we didn't like just because of the like the timing of the character on screen. It felt like a little, oh, there we go. Ryan is in. Okay. Ryan, how are we doing?
Hey, Sir Matt, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. Yeah, so I was just finishing up kind of my review here a little bit, and then we'll dive into some stuff here. But also, I was just talking a little. I was just kind of closing up really about like just some of the differences and talking about like you know, Bela and you know her, and I always forget which one it is, Adam or Alan. But anyway, they obviously get romantically involved. And in the show, I was talking about how Jimmy and I had, I'd said this on the podcast the other day, Jimmy and I didn't like it just be not that, that they went that down that route since it does happen in the books, but it just felt like very quick. And it's just one of those things with like when you mm-hmm. didn't have enough screen time of them. And I felt like that's something they actually could have played with a little bit more here where she has that conversation and then Rhaenyra chokes her. But other than that, man, I mean... Like I said, I've kind of gone over the whole episode at this point, but I mean, what were your thoughts, man? I mean, I'd said to me, in our group text, I was like, this is like peak in the franchise.
It was amazing. It was unbelievable. There's so many scenes and they kept going back and forth and coming back to things. And I'm sitting there going, man, that was a great scene. And I'm like, what's coming next? And then it switched to something else. And I get so invested in that scene and those characters. And then it just kept, there's so many characters in the show. And for three seasons, we've been watching them do these things. We've been wondering, all right, where are they going? Because we know the books, we know what they might be doing, but they're making some changes. So it's a little bit of a mystery. And we've got a lot of things coming together in this episode. And this season was amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously, you know, as we're hardcore book readers here, I mean, there's definitely some changes of everything. Are there any changes that I was just talking about nettles right before you jumped on.
Yeah, I think a lot of the book readers really wanted to see nettles to see how that was going to play out, especially with Aemond and Alice.
Right.
And then we'd have Daemon and nettles and how that all plays out into what I think all anticipated would have been season four, because I think most of us believed the Aemond-Daemon battle was going to be the end of the season until we got into these last couple episodes and we realized the timeline was just not moving fast enough.
Right, because that's something Jimmy and I had been talking about for a long time is the timeline of this whole thing. And, you know, that's a battle that's obviously been teased the entire time. I mean, so, you know, I mean, that is one of the things about this whole deal is almost every battle that is like teased somewhat obviously gets delivered. And, you know, just the confrontation between the two. And there's a lot of confrontations that they have been setting up that I'm very curious to see ultimately how they play out. But yeah, I mean, like that confrontation happens like relatively quick. And I think that's going to get pushed back to like, that's like one of the pinnacle moments in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's going to get pushed back as well as some of the other big battles this is a spoiler chat. If you're anything like me, you've probably got a growing list of books you want to get through, but never seem to find the time. That's why I've been using 11 Reader. Not only does it have over 200,000 premium audiobooks, but it lets you turn just about anything into a natural sounding audiobook, PDFs, articles, EPUBs, even documents you already have. One of my favorite features is being able to choose the narrator for anything I upload. It's amazing how much a different voice can completely change the immersion of a story. Sometimes the right narrator is the difference between a book you're just listening to and one you're completely pulled into. A gritty fantasy novel, a mystery, or even a history book can all feel completely different depending on who's telling the story. An 11 Reader gives you the freedom to find the voice that fits the book. It's become one of my favorite ways to catch up on reading while I'm driving, working out, or just taking the dog for a walk. Instead of watching another 20 minutes of social media, I actually make progress on my reading list. You can try 11 Reader for free, and if you decide to upgrade, use promo code podcast to get your first 2 months for just $1. Sound relatively, you know, we'll try to, we don't have to go into like, you know, we don't, I mean, technically Joffrey has actually spoiled the entire series if you watch Game of Thrones and just pay attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where the timeline is so wonky in this and how they've moved everything around.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's enough? Well, first of all, I was kind of wondering, well, is there enough to give us eight good episodes next year? And I'm wondering, is eight episodes going to be enough with how they paced this season and for how well I enjoyed it? I know some people didn't care the pacing of a lot of the middle of the season because it slowed down after the first two episodes, but I thought it built up amazingly for last week and this week.
Yeah, I would say that there's a lot. I can see now a lot of stuff. Obviously, they're gonna have to cut a lot of stuff because just the way they've paced this. But there's so many big points that they're gonna hit. Obviously, you know, like, you know, there's two pretty mega battles that we have to get through, and
there's so much fallout.
There's a ton of fallout, but there's still like there's a lot of stuff that happens. Like there's okay, so some of the stuff that still has to like deal with. Okay, Alf has just torched a city, and so you think about Alf. I thought we would get more Hugh this episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like they hit his points well enough. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's he has a big role to play, right? Going forward. So I think like season four, episode one is going to be actually I think it's gonna be pure chaos. Right. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a slower build. I think the end it will be like crazy, but the beginning is going to have to be some slower build. There's a lot of characters that they've almost like completely cut, like the Greyjoys, like Dalton Greyjoy and some of the mm-hmm. other characters. They're like completely just cut out. But the big deal next season, and I do feel like they have been ramping it up well enough because, you know, the Starks and the North obviously mm-hmm. have come down and are now involved in Tumbleton and Roddy Ruin. Rip. What a great way to go out, man.
Like a warrior.
But
he was so ready. He was happy.
He was like, I'm ready to go, man. Like, but Craigan Stark, obviously, mm-hmm. who we met in season two for a brief period of time, he will come down. Mm-hmm. And he will make his entrance. But he is an enormous player in the whole final act of the Dance of the Dragons, where I feel like he's going to get like the Ormond screen time.
Yeah,
like that will be the replacement. Like he will feel like this season's next big character, because there's not really a lot of new characters.
Yeah,
who will be entering the fray? He's kind of the last new character, but there is still Darren who. Because Darren dies in the books mm-hmm. in Tumbleton. We didn't see him. So
definitely
think he's alive. Mm-hmm. Right. So we will see what happens with him. Gawain Hightower is still alive, but again, he's been long dead at this point in the book. So who knows what's going to happen with mm-hmm. him and why they chose to keep him alive.
Right.
Yeah.
To that point, we also have Larys Clubfoot. Yes. Is he done, or are we? Is there anything left to do? Or are they just going to create something new for him for next year?
There's a lot to do with him. But the big difference is that in the books, he is like in King's Landing the whole time.
Right.
He doesn't go on this journey with Aegon. And so now the real question, where does he go now?
Right.
Like, where does he? And then he may be a character who doesn't even show up till like episode four. Like, you know, there's a lot of other stuff mm-hmm. that has to happen before he needs to make his entrance again. And then what is that entrance going to look like? And I feel mm-hmm. like it'll have some importance to it. So he may fill the role of somebody else, like bringing in troops, or, you know, I don't know what exactly his entrance is going to look like. Yeah. So, okay. Some other big things. I thought the Battle of Tumbleton itself, like visually, was one of the coolest battles we'd ever seen. In A Song of Ice. I mean, it was giving me like Lord of the Rings, Riders of Rohan vibes.
I heard you say that. I was trying. I pulled the video up so I could hear you. I was trying to fix useless computer. But I agree. When they started pouring the oils, they're lighting the field with the arrows. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
The guy standing there and the arrow takes him out. Yeah. Question here from Books Immersed, which is Jordan Reynolds. He's been on the show. He does a
Hey, Jordan.
Yes, he does. Has the best way, like spatial audio things. I just talked on it anyway. Check out all of his stuff because it's great. He asks, Matt, how do you think this Aegon will respond to Helaena's fate? Yeah, I mean, Aegon is definitely gearing up for the Aegon Targaryen revenge tour. And definitely going to have to see how that ultimately plays out, because again, he is so much better in this show than he is in the books. Cause like, it's very much from the perspective is very much from, in both World of Ice and Fire and Fire and Blood, it is very much from Rhaenyra's side. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the greens, to be fair, just in that the way the story is told, it feels like all of these things are happening like to the greens, and like the greens are the bad guys doing it, as opposed to like being from their side, giving us much more like day to day of what it is that they're doing. Right. Like it's off. Like you don't really get a lot of the conversations of Rhaenyra and people, but we don't get a lot of like the conversations that's taking place on the green side of like, well, Aemon and Helaena said this, or Aegon. And so that is a huge expansion, but it's going to be part of it, especially because if he finds out or hears that she was pregnant, and again, he's at Harrenhal right now with Alys Rivers, so is we don't know that Alys Rivers isn't going to affect him,
right?
You know,
did you touch on the Alys Rivers stuff yet?
Oh, just a little bit. I actually kind of missed. I was like writing down notes, and so I ended that's mm-hmm. the whole little thing went so fast. I heard the back half of it, but I didn't hear the first half of it. But it sounds like she was saying she's been like around for hundreds of years, or like very hundreds of years.
I think she was confessing that she was a mother of one of Heron Hor's grandchildren or children.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know there's so many people that try to link her to Melisandre, and I don't know if we've got any indications anywhere to do that. I don't think she can be linked to like the Woods Witch that we get from.
I mean, the problem is that her story in the books is completely open.
Right.
Like even the stuff, it's kind of like we just know that she is with Aemond, and then even there's some stuff that is like all pure speculation where some people are like, that's not even true. So
she mentions that she's cursed because she did some old magic and she didn't realize the what it would take to do it, and now she's cursed and she can't leave. And so is she trying to, first with Daemon and now Aemond, is she trying to break the curse to leave or to die and rest at peace?
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of speculation about.
Yeah, is she bound to mm-hmm. Harrenhal? And remember, the big deal about Harrenhal is that not only is there a weirwood tree there, but the God's Eye is right next door, and that is where all of the green men live. And we've talked about tons of theories and things that go to it, because I think this show has also hinted a little bit at a long-standing theory that Jimmy and I have had, which is we know in A Game of Thrones that the mantle of the three-eyed, in the show it's three-eyed raven, in the, mm-hmm. in the books it's the three-eyed crow, gets passed on. Like we clearly see that in both Game of Thrones and in the books A Song of Ice and Fire, that the mantle itself gets passed on from Bloodraven to Bran. So the real question is, has there been one before?
Right.
And is that mantle something that is only held by the cave that Bloodraven is in? Or is that mantle something that anyone connected to any trees, any weirwood tree, since it's all one enormous network, could take? And the place that seems the most likely for that to happen is the God's Eye, which is like nothing but weirwood trees and like green men. And they've shown mm-hmm. us green men and a few times. So like that whole angle is going to get, I think, blown way up, because they have been hinting to something way, way, way bigger. Even here, they talked about the Song of Ice and Fire prophecy. So that is something that's going to be much bigger, I believe, in this season finale, obviously, than it's nowhere in the books, at least in the Dance of the Dragons. I mean, we didn't even know that the prophecy gets passed down from person to person until House of the Dragon season 1. So that whole, the Alice Rivers, Aemon stuff is going to be an enormous part of the final season. And it, I have said, and actually you go back to like that big theory I did on YouTube about my Blood Raven theory after watching A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, in which that weird fortune teller gives like a huge prophecy to Aegon the Fifth. And then we have seen Blood Raven in this show when Daemon has his vision. I totally believe that's one of the things. There is still a bigger picture behind, like, you know, that they are going to try to connect these shows. Yeah. Which they've already they've clearly been doing. And Blood Raven is 1,000,000% the bridge between all of these shows,
because all three,
I mean, like, we will without question see him in season three of Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I mean, he's the main character in the whole thing.
Main plot.
Yeah, and then of course he is in Game of Thrones, and so the question is, does he look back, or, you know, who knows? With all the time, Bran could look back. Like, we could see Bran in the if we do anything more with Weirwood Trees, because we know he literally goes into the past and affects it, right? So,
right.
That's definitely something that they're going to expand out more. Maybe Aegon sees something. Okay, here's somebody here. Kira, she asked, can you explain the tapestry? And I have to go back and look at it. I will pull it back up here if it lets me. Sometimes when I try to pull up some of these like streaming sites have like some weird
blocks.
Yeah, if you're like using like a capture card, then it like knows it and it like won't let you look at it.
I find it fascinating how well they've done with Rhaenyra and her facial acting this season.
Oh my God. Emma Darcy's totally going to win.
She's been amazing.
I mean, absolutely crushed it this season. Yep. Okay. So the final tapestry that she is looking at, I got it pulled up here. Of course I can't, well, I can't really show it, but you might be able to see it on my screen a little bit there. Don't tell YouTube, you know,
blur it out.
I don't have it. Okay. So let's see here. So the final tapestry she's looking at. Oh, I can tell you exactly what that is. We will. There are dragons. There is fire. There is blood. There is like, it looks like, it's almost like there's blood coming from the crown of Rhaenyra sitting on the throne, and there's like hands, what like look to be like human hands. That will be season two. That will be season four, episode one. You just watch. Like, we just watch. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean, or even at the end, it could just be that this whole deal. I mean, like, we know, I mean, this doesn't, I mean, I, you know, this is spoiler chat, but I try not to go too deep into the spoilers. I won't get into the specifics of it, but the whole deal about the Dance of the Dragons is that it is also referred to as the Dying of the Dragons, in which we have already seen a lot of dragons die. And of course, by the time we get to even A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, there are no dragons, right? Because almost all of them die in war. So, some other people popping in here. Kirsty always drops great theories. Let's see here. Some other just final notes here. I'll skim through the episode a little bit. Yeah. The Alicent. Yeah. Just Alicent. Maybe Alicent knows, like, she can feel it because she sees the butterflies. But I mean, they did have to give her this final scene that we didn't, I don't know that she necessarily had to be this one
camping out there.
Yeah. And so clearly she found a group, because it seemed like they made it seem like she was just with one person when she was in Harrenhal, and now she's clearly with more.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought maybe she was just going to stay hiding out in Harrenhal, but now they're showing us that she's away.
Yeah. Again, yeah, I mean, it's hard to even have a criticism of this episode because it was just so freaking good. But if the only criticism I could even maybe try to finally get to give this thing a fault would be, I think we needed a little more Hugh. Well, I mean, we've had that build up with him and his wife, but then the whole thing feels like it's happening in the background, right? Cause it's like, whoa, Hugh's here. And then we see him in the streets and it's just pure chaos. Cause it's mostly from Daemon. I almost felt like, you know, him like flying in I mean, essentially disobeying Rhaenyra's order. He's supposed to, he's going to stay here and guard the city. And then he's now clearly going to Tumbleton and check out his wife. So that'll all figure itself out next season. I'm not super worried about it. But yeah.
You know, when I watched it, the one thing that I don't know if I want to say I felt disappointed, but I kind of thought maybe there was opportunity for more was the end when Helena makes her move. I mean, I think they filmed it nicely, but I feel like at that point of the episode, they really had built that moment up enough. Because I know that they built it up earlier in the episode and they've been building it the previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
But it just felt like, you know, we just spent 20 minutes with in other areas with this massive battle scenes. And then all of a sudden
we come back to it.
Did she just wake up from a dream and now she's realized this is it, I'm done? Or are we going to get something next season that's going to inform this? It just kind of felt a little bit to me. It could have been better.
Yeah. Like, I guess like what was like the final straw. Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, because I mean, obviously she was force fed by Rhaenyra. And mm-hmm. I think that, and then obviously the Massaria saying like this,
waterboarded this is it. Almost.
Jeez.
That was rough. You know, it's that funny. Was a brutal
it's,
scene.
It's funny. Last night I watched the new season of Ted Lasso and Hannah Waddingham or whatever her name is, mm-hmm. who obviously played the Septa, who was waterboarded in.
Right.
Have you ever seen that? She gives like an interview where she said it was like the worst day of her life. and she's like, you know, props to Anna Hattie who plays Cersei Lannister. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but she's like, yeah, literally she's like, I almost drowned. Like I was just being waterboarded for like 12 hours straight to get that shot. But I was watching Game of Thrones or I was watching Ted Lasso season 4, the new episode last night. And I thought about that. Okay. I have the Alice Rivers thing pulled up and I'm just, cause I'm trying to see exactly what it is. So I have the captions on. Yeah. And she is saying, she's actually, hold on, are her lips not even moving? Oh no, yes, okay, sorry, it's just the caption. When the dragon prince Balerion burned this place, it was to end Lord Heron's line, but his line was not so easily ended. A child, a boy, lived on. I'm just watching it in real time. Burned terribly but alive. His mother would have given anything to save him. So she's talking. So she is the mother, I believe, is what she's saying. She summoned maesters from across the seven kingdoms, but to no avail. Sorry, it's like a lot of dramatic pauses here, and I don't want to skip. So she turned to older cures, and this is where she starts talking about uncovered the incantations more ancient than the land. She treated with things that lived in the forest. So we're talking about like children of the forest. Mm-hmm. But none of it could unmake what dragon fire made. And when the boy was gone, sorry, it just takes a second here. She tried to go with him. So she's saying she tried to like kill herself. Because then she starts crying. And that's when she learned the cost. So it sounds like maybe she tried to perform some sort of like blood magic and somehow was bound. She discovered then the curse was to live on. To remain within the bounds of the old, with the river kings of old. Yeah, stripped of her name, her title, her castle, and sentenced to serve every lord who has come here to rule it, which we know basically continues on. Says that was 100 years past. It's a long time to be alone. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, there she hints at, like, talking to, like, children of the forest and perhaps doing some sort of magic with them. And remember, we don't know this to be the case in the books because the White Walkers could be who freaking knows, right? Like they could be, I don't know. I mean, they could just be, it seems like in the show, we clearly see them get created mm-hmm. by the Children of the Forest. Whereas in the books, it is possible that they are their own race that has existed for mm-hmm. a very, very long period of time. So the big difference being, of course, is that, Man, I don't know. They try to dive into something. I mean, the White Walkers, I think, would have to have been around for much, much, much longer in the even like the show canon for her to be part of that, because that would talk about kings and like the Andals and stuff. So mm-hmm. I certainly don't think that's possible. But we'll see what this ultimately turns into. She clearly has some sort of like magical power or properties or abilities. And then like, is she bound by the mm-hmm. green men? Are the green men there to like make sure she stays? Did she perform some sort of blood magic? Is there a different curse mm-hmm. each time? Right? Because like Khal Drogo gets blood magic performed on him and he's like a zombie. So he clearly still lives on. And right. What is the... Yeah, what is the thing?
I find that line fascinating where she says that that magic could not undo the dragon fire.
Right.
So I think people are going to dive into that and they're going to start talking, well, now the children, the dragon and Valyria and that god is more powerful than the children and the magic. And if they're related to, they're not related to the White Walkers and that entity at all, but I mean, we've got three sides. We just don't know how everything started or right. has played out for most, at the beginning. That line, I cannot undo what the dragon fire had done. That's, I think people are going to fixate on that a lot.
Yeah. And it's the storyline that, especially now, unfortunately, obviously that Helena is gone, but it is the storyline that intrigues me the most, because I feel like it's the one that lends itself to like end game connections, mm-hmm. right? Like big end game connections. So, okay. Well, I think, unless you have anything else to add, Ryan,
I got a bunch of notes here.
I touched on everything.
Kind of went through everything. Did you talk about Corlys?
Yes.
I mean, I was happy to see him back. The Damon says that he's now his prisoner. That was a little interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I guess he has abandoned Rhaenyra in Damon's eyes, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's just how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I think we've covered, that's you've okay. covered everything that I've got.
Yeah.
I liked Bela challenging Rhaenyra at the beginning. And it's just another example of Rhaenyra showing she is allowing people to challenge her, even in private. Yes. And it's just, I think Damon might be right when he says, you are king, queen, you do not allow this. And we've seen it all season that she has allowed this. And that stood out to me at the end of the episode. Even though she did kind of put Bela in her place after a moment.
Yeah. Okay. We'll close out with this last one here. What if she talked about Alice Rivers she's a children of the forest that was either in love or forced to marry a whore, house whore, obviously, then went to her kind to save her son. And they wouldn't, her son and children of the forest wouldn't, cause they disowned her due to what Heron did with all the weirwoods. Yeah. Like
it's going to be a big talking point for the next year.
Yeah, it's going to connect. So. It's going to connect to something that's going to connect big to the bigger Song of Ice and Fire prophecy. And like, I mean, it's all stuff that we don't know, because I mean, she gives Daemon a vision and he sees dragons. He sees Blood Raven. He sees Daenerys. He sees a ton of things. And then she also has these like clutch of dragon eggs. So like, I've often thought that her purpose is to like aid in the dying of dragons. Like she wants to see all the dragons die, like revenge mode. Is what I've always kind of thought was her end game. Just because, I mean, in the books it goes the same way. In the books we don't really know about the Daemon stuff with her. But then obviously she's trying to pit Daemon and Aemon against each other. Mm. And she's obviously having a much bigger deal with it with Aemon. And I feel like that's kind of what it's to, but there's a bigger purpose for it going down the line. I think it's ultimately revenge on Targaryens.
Right. for taking down the castle, for ruining the castle, for killing the
right. I mean, we didn't know any of that stuff going into, but I just sort of felt like, as we've seen a little bit more of her and these, like, you know, dragon, she's connected to all this other stuff. Yeah, she's probably, she would have to be like 400 years old. Lilith, you know, Jewish religion, religion mythology, a demon, succubus, vampire. Exactly. Well, in vampires, we know are related to House Harrenhal, right? Like, a lot of people think that Danielle Lofton, who is one of the people who will be there during the reign of the Blackfyres, a lot of people, their sigil is a bat, and they're one of the people that hold it for a long time. There's actually this really cool theory about, like, the Lofton shield, that Bran picks up this, like, random shield, and it's, like, been painted over and all this stuff. Did a big theory of it on YouTube. You can go listen to it. I don't know if it's video or not, but certainly, whatever, old podcast that Ez and I did back in the day. But yeah, so vampires are certainly part of the whole thing. But yes, there's power in king's blood, but dragons are god's blood. Yeah. So, okay. With that, Jim, first of all, thanks for coming on, Ryan. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I know it's last minute when I hit you up. I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll ask Ryan if he wants to, pop on.
Happy to
be here. Yes, so Jimmy and I will be back later this week. Jimmy's on vacation, so we will be back later this week to do, like, our wrap up of the whole season. So, banger episode, 10 out of 10.
Amazing, yeah.
I mean, I think it's the best episode. I said, I was like, man, this might be the best. In our group, I said, I think this is easily the best episode of House of the Dragon. To me, this is the episode I felt was the best of the whole show.
It could be. And the whole season was amazing. I think the people that were really upset with last season, I think when they watch this, and especially if they binge it, they're going to fully be back in. Committed. Yeah.
And this will tie in great. Chrissy says, will it be live? Jimmy and I, I don't know. We haven't talked about it yet. Possibly. It kind of depends on time when Jimmy and I record. Sometimes we have to, like, squeeze it in like the middle of the day, and it kind of depends. But if it's one of those things where sometimes if it's later in the evening that we record, then, like, that we would be much more likely to do a live stream. So, and then after that, we will be into Boiled Leather as we begin to stare down the end of the reread. So with that, as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that winter is coming.